Now wait a minute.
Do you ever feel inadequate? Do you feel small, weak, like there's nothing you can do? Like everything is just happening around you. You're just a passive actor. You're powerless. Do you want to feel like you have power again? Like you could be stronger, faster, sexier, smarter, all of these things? Well, I've got the solution for you. It's called voting. You need to vote right now, and you will be the person of your dreams tomorrow, today. One vote every day is all it takes for you to become your actualized most perfect self. Now, this does have some side effects. We don't have time to get into all of them. There may be drawbacks, could be addictive. I don't know. It's not my place to say.
Don't forget about salt and brain.
But here's what I can say is that it is time to vote right fucking now. Let's go. It's the most important election of our lives.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
Vote yellow until it's mellow.
Hello until it's mellow, folks. We've got a really exciting episode today. I'm Kennedy Cooper. As always on the panel, we've got my good friends, Brandon Buchanan.
Vote black no matter the fact.
That rhymes.
That's great. And we've got our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields. Andrew, say hi.
Hello, everybody. As a statistician, let me give you a little advice. People constantly are asking me what to do with outlier data. It's one of the hardest things to do with a statistical analysis. So here's my professional statistician advice. Outlier? Why, I hardly even know her!
God damn it. And we've got a guest today. A guest that I'm so excited to have. Somebody I've been podcasting with for years. At this point, somebody I consider a true friend, not just an internet person, and just a great guy. It's the homie Marcos. What's up?
What's up? Vote for the homie. Come get to know me. You know what I'm saying?
Shit!
I'm voting for you 20 times! And I'm only allowed to do it 17 times. Don't tell the election police.
For that.
I do have to preface this. Hold on. Like, before we get into it, I do have to preface this. So I work for the post office, right? I work for the USPS.
A real American hero.
And I have to tell, literally every time we do voter stuff on any podcast that I'm on, or it's government stuff, I always have to start off with first things first. I fucking love the Hatch Act. All right. And that's, I just got to let everybody know right off rip, just in case anyone's listening. I fuck heavy with the Hatch Act and I do not represent USPS.
I've said it before on record, but I'll say it again. I've never known anybody that loves the Hatch Act more than this man.
And of course, if you haven't heard it already today, thank you for your service.
Yes. Yeah.
I hate it. Don't tell me thank you for my service. Make my job harder, actually. That's what I like. That's why I'm a mailman.
You know what? I'm going to vote to destroy the post office.
Yeah, put some, you know what would really help? If you put some dog shit in your walkway to your mailbox, you know, or litter toys all over the place. That's awesome.
I was thinking scatter thumbtacks.
Yeah, that we love that shit. We love that. That's what I
should probably add that service is the name of my Rottweiler.
I do legitimately, you do have to be no one becomes a mailman or a mail carrier because they like the job. It's you're accursed. It's you're the Ashen One from Dark Souls. You know what I'm saying? You've made enough mistakes in your life and you can't rise up. So now you are cursed to roam the land and carry mail. And it's tight, actually.
You're the penitent one. That's great. It's so exciting to have a real postal worker here on the show. expressing patriotism.
It's time to go postal.
Yeah.
Yeah, more people should go postal, you know? Yeah.
Support, you know, that before...
Which I mean, support the post office. I'm sorry, does that term mean something else?
In the 80s. In the 80s, before... So what happened... Going postal in the 90s is when it happened, right? When people started, like, shooting places and stuff. But in the 80s, there was a brief campaign to get more people to send things through packages. Because, like, if you think about it, in the 80s, like, was the rise of FedEx and, USP or UPS and stuff. So, like, the UPS or USPS finally had competition. So they were... They had, for a brief summer, they had a marketing campaign that was encouraging people to go postal.
Oh,
they're
shit.
They're like, yeah.
Wow.
And then, which is where you get when people like post after all of the like really, all like the high profile like shootings and like workplace harassment cases. That's where the term came from, because it was still fresh in people's minds of like people were going postal. So like, it's so funny that they invented it. Like, use their own marketing against them.
Out there, there's like some old like I'm going postal postcards that are like official.
There, no, there's like jackets that say it. There's like patches that say like let's go postal. It's amazing. There's a ton of like stuff. There's a few. There's a few
just all
carriers
sitting in a warehouse somewhere with a security guard all day. Just like we can't.
No, they get the OPM and like the supervisors get very upset if they see older mail carriers have that merch on them. One of the older mail carriers had that as a pin, and like he got in trouble for wearing it.
You know what this reminds me of?
It's an official USPS.
Yeah,
pin.
You know, it's official. And like,
this reminds me.
Sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
This reminds me of that one old Batman comic where Batman makes exposes Joker's massive boner, and he spends the entire comic trying to give the Batman a big boner, embarrassing boner.
The chortle at my boner, will they? I remember that line lives in my head rent free, like
chortle at Joker's boner. The word boner meant something different back then.
It meant vagina. Marcos, you requested today. I don't have a good lead in for this because I'm not, familiar with the source topic. I've learned a lot about it in the last couple of days.
You're not of a borrowed mind to come up with one.
Yeah, I'm kind of a less a wind. I'm sorry.
Everyone knows the story of you were subscribed to gaming magazines. You were getting a little bit too old for gaming magazines, but it's not like you had a lot of other hobbies. You still had the gaming magazines in the cut, and your friends at school were talking when this dropped. Because when the promises for this game were so crazy, and the journalists were treating it with so much credibility, that they were like, yeah, this Morrowind thing is coming out. And also, it's ugly. So it's like...
It's hideous.
it's hideous to look at. But if you are an RPG fan, this seems like it's going to be... especially compared to, like, what was the previous most immersive RPG before this that was playable on a home console? Like, not the fucking nothing. This is the real deal, big open world experience.
This is when Western RPG started, basically. Yeah.
Can I explain how Morrowind came into my life? Because it's kind of a crazy circumstance.
But first, I just have to say really quickly, I love how Brandon addressed our audience knowing that no Gen Z people would ever listen to this show.
That's not true.
The idea of edgy PBS has no sway on the youth.
On my on my podcast,
no one wants to vote.
I've got a bunch of Zoomers interested in playing Oblivion, or not Oblivion, Morrowind, purely from, because I'm like, if you want to understand like the true mysteries of life, like the chiral vectors, like understanding the deep well of knowledge that is my psychotic brain, you have to play Morrowind, and like they play it, and then they DM me like, "I get it now. I understand you now." So like it's, but Morrowind entered my life.
I have diagnosable conditions now. I've played.
Yeah, legit, yes, you do. I legitimately believe. So like it came to me when I was like 15, 16. At that time in my life, I was legitimately experiencing like the onset of schizophrenia, like actual diagnosable schizophrenia. Like I was, experiencing that
aspect of the homie's existence.
Yeah, I was experiencing this, and my friend, who all he does, like this is not helping either, because I used to go to his house and we would just fucking smoke insane amount of weed. His mom had like the medical card, and she like.
Woo-hoo!
I'll take a little weed brownie, but she just had like so much weed, so we would just smoke the rest of it. Anyways, we would like get crazy zooted, and he was one of those GameStop kids that like would go once a week to buy a game from GameStop because he had like infinite money glitch. You know what I'm saying? So he would like go and he bought Morrowind because he thought the artwork was cool. He's like, it looks like a book, dude. And I was like, okay, cool. And so he
brought it. That's exactly what I was looking for in a video game back then. Yeah, it looks like a book. Yeah.
You know what? I like playing Sonic games for the story. They have a story like a book.
So he brought it home. He brought it to his house.
But also, if you're a fan of books, Morrowind is a good thing for sure. Your life.
So
yeah, no, I actually did. I read a lot of fantasy when I was young, so I probably totally missed out. But anyway, sorry, keep going.
He brought it to his house. I'm over at his house. He boots it up. He's playing it. He can't get past the tutorial or like the end, like to get in, because like, dude, there's so much fucking reading, bro. This game fucking sucks, bro. And I'm like, well, if you don't want to play it, then I guess like I'll play it. And he's like, yeah, I'll just get high and watch you play it. So I start playing it, and I like, I don't know how to explain this in a way that makes sense, but like time stopped, and I played it for like 18 hours straight, and I read every single book that I came across, and like everything was making sense to me. And for like the next 8 months, I played the entirety of that game. I read every single book. I learned every single spell. I didn't even beat the game. I didn't even get close to beating the game. I just was exploring so hard. And I like went, I was obsessed with it, and I didn't have like internet at home. So I would go to the library and I would like Google like Oblivion Secrets. And that's when I found the Elder Scrolls like Bethesda forums. And I don't know if you know anything about like that, like Morrowind and Elder Scrolls in general. Like the guy who wrote it is a dude named Michael Kirkbride, who's a psychopath, and he essentially like expanded all of the lore for all of Elder Scrolls and Morrowind in just random forum posts. And I got sucked in so hard that I like low-key, there's a concept in Morrowind called Kim, where you like where you recognize the godhead as like they call it like the dreamer in the waking dreamer or something like that. Someone like who's, anyways, I like fell into it like religiously, and I was like, oh damn. And it low key cured my schizophrenia. It made it so that I didn't have as bad of a like time transitioning into like adulthood with and yeah. So Morrowind saved my life. Hikey, I love that. I love this stupid ass game.
Okay.
It's incredible hearing you talk about Morrowind, like you're talking about, like people talk about, like Christ.
I low key the Nerevarine is like he just like me for real. I'm trying to be closer to, you know what I'm saying.
So who's your pope? If the Catholics have their new pope, who's your pope?
Probably like Vivek or something. Nah, he's a bad guy, but I mean, it's cool.
We're gonna talk about Vivek today.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, before we move on, I just want to just briefly point out that the ideas inside of the Morrowind endgame, of course, weren't invented by Morrowind. And, like, they put that in there because a lot of people, that was their first exposure to a lot of that stuff. Like, obviously, like, once you were done with Morrowind, you were able to find other writing and research and stuff on the ideas that were in there.
A lot of it is like a lot of what Michael Kirkbride was doing was one, taking too many drugs. There's a very funny story about how like there was like a production meeting that had to happen, and Michael Kirkbride, no one had seen him in like 3 or 4 weeks. He just, and like, who's that guy? Todd Howard had been like, dude, I need you to confirm that you're coming to this because like we need blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I need you. And no one has heard from him. He completely missed that production meeting. And then Todd Howard, pissed, ready to go fire him, like drives down to his apartment and finds Michael Kirkbride like just in a complete stupor, like just high out of his mind, and all of the, like pretty much the entire Elder Scrolls like universe written out and arranged around him, like an actual cosmology that he had built from like, and then they, and like Todd Howard's like, you're not fired, but you can't do this. Like, this is insane, dude.
You have to be,
yeah, you have to be present,
more functional than this.
Yeah. So like, but I mean, a lot of it is like mysticism, like deeply understanding, like there's a lot of interesting, it's a good way if you're like, if you're a, just a stupid kid, it's a good way to like fall into like understanding like some occult stuff that isn't predatory. Cause a lot of occult like practitioners or like occult stuff, like when you say it, it's got like this really nasty like connotation of being gross. You know what I'm saying? Cause like a lot of it is predatory. It's like predatory on people who are, you know, not as well, they don't have the mind.
If a 15-year-old boy were learning how to become a warrior, you would prefer they learned it from Carlos Castaneda than Andrew Tate.
Yeah, precisely. And like with this kind of stuff, it's not teaching you how to be like a wizard or a magician, but it is kind of teaching you like allegorically to understand that like reality can happen to you, but you have the ability to like, what is that called? To like, Not change the reality, but to change how you react to your reality, which is like, that's a very powerful lesson to teach a 12-year-old going through like, you know, on top of the, you know, I wasn't 12, but like, you know, 14 or 16, like on top of going through like puberty, I was also like realizing that I had like schizophrenia. You know what I mean? Like those are two very difficult things to try and navigate, and to have this stupid game kind of explain that like, hey, you can't change what you're experiencing, but you can change how you react to it. That's like incredible. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I needed something like that. So unironically, Oblivion slaps. It's like the best, or not Oblivion, Morrowind is like, I don't know, Michael, I owe Michael Kirkbride my life, Loki.
This is actually a really fascinating, cool story behind why you picked this, and I'm really appreciative of you for sharing it. Sincerely, like, it's really interesting to hear you talk about this, and I don't have a lot of personal experience with the game, but I will say that, like, indirectly, I had a friend that, like, I went over to his house one time. Like, I was like the opposite person in your story, Marcos, where like I went over to my buddy's house one time, and like this was like when I was pretty early into smoking weed, and like you know what those early days of smoking weed are like, where it's just like you're just like in fucking Narnia, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like at my buddy's house, watching him play this game, like, and I'm like, you know, I'm high for the like 10th time or whatever, you know. Ever. And like and yeah, it's like I don't even know what this is, and I'm just like, what is this fucking game, man? like it was just like so weird compared to anything I'd ever seen anyone play, and I was both like, I kind of want to play this, and then I was also like, why the fuck do you play this? Like, yeah.
I think it came out in 2003, right? Like, so like, you have
2002.
2002. That's, it's so far ahead of like everything. It's so like, it doesn't even register that it was like literally 9/11 had just happened. You know what I'm saying? it literally happened a year ago.
I thought it was like simultaneously one of the most innovative and like original things I had ever seen in my life, and also like garbage.
Yeah. Like, it is true. Though both of those things can be true. And it
that was just like my like 14-year-old impression of it, seeing it for the first time or whatever, you know? Or I guess I was a little older than that, but you know, it's just whatever.
What's wild to me is thinking about how there's less distance between Elder Scrolls 3 and Elder Scrolls 5 than there is Elder Scrolls 5 and today.
Oh, yeah.
There's a 5-year gap between 3 and 5, and we still keep getting remasters of 5.
Yeah.
Well, that's because that's all we need. It's just more remasters of Five. Thank you for bringing to us this excellent, most excellent topic. So obviously, thought long and hard about what else we might want to talk about that could go well with Morrowind as a topic. And I think you'll approve of where we decided to take it today. Our idea was that, one big lore feature of the Elder Scrolls that has come back from many games, and it doesn't exactly get its start in Morrowind as I understand it, but it kind of, like, Morrowind established a lot of things that would go on to become major aspects of the Elder Scrolls.
Like wards. Like implementing wards.
Creating the written language, something that had to be created for the Elder Scrolls series to exist. One big lore feature that I'd love to hear your thoughts on, Marcos, is skooma.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love skooma diving.
I just love that they had an addiction mechanic in a game in 2002. You know what I mean?
Maybe I don't like skooma diving.
skooma, there's like, you know what's crazy about this too? Is that like it low-key, so it kind of translates to a real world problem that has something to do with like Native American sovereignty in America. I know I'm going to sound like I'm fucking losing my mind here, but
sound right in line with this show. In fact, I have to cut you off because we're here today to talk about, as well as Morrowind, the United States drug war. So please go on. This is, in fact, I'm not making this up. This is the notes of this show. See, this is why I knew I had to have you come on, is because this show is just insane enough
for me to guess where it's going. I don't think it's coincidental. Michael Kirkbride low-key was into all kinds of stuff. If you read his forum post, he had the inability to separate his like interests and passions, things that he was into his writing. And so one of the things that he wrote about extensively, just kind of randomly, was Native American sovereignty in the forums. He would just bring it up sometimes and just talk about it. And, you know, I think how he probably fell into it, because he was like a big psychedelics guy. And there was definitely an overlap in the 2000s of like a guy who was really into psychedelics and a guy who was into Native American sovereignty. Because at the time, there was an issue between the U.S. government enforcing Schedule One drug enforcement on Native American reservations that had sovereignty over psychedelic mushrooms and what was the other one? Not just ayahuasca, but there's like peyote. And I think low key that, because skooma existed before in like Daggerfall, but it was just something that people would do to get high. But like,
that's why I said it was like it vaguely existed before this, but it didn't really have like the
The wiki up right now, and I'm looking into moon sugar, and holy shit. All about the politics.
You can read it as an allegory for this. You could also read it as a reasonable allegory for like, you know, a mandatory sentencing stuff. We'll talk more about that.
Skooma, in fact, is created by refined moon sugar, which is a holy, like, it's a holy substance that is related to who they call the beast folk, which is like kind of a racist term for Khajiits, who are like a race of cat people that come from this place called Elsewhere. And like, they kind of live, they're like a blend between like Romani culture and like Native American kind of, but more like American, like Choctaw or like, you know, like nomadic people. They're kind of a blend between that and like Persian, like merchant, like the nomad merchant people. And like, it's really interesting, but regardless, their moon sugar and skooma is used recreationally to like connect them with like the moons, Maser and Secundus, who are the like, who they worship as like their direct descendants from them. So like they use this stuff, and like, sure, there's people who are completely addicted to it within their own culture, but like they use it recreationally because it like literally is a part of their culture. And as soon as that hit the Empire, who is like essentially they're the Anglo of the like of Tamriel, ooh, of like, you know, of Oblivion, it hit that shit like the crack epidemic in the 80s, right? Like they just started fucking going crazy. So the Empire cracked down and essentially made it super duper illegal. And like Morrowind is interesting because it's ran by the Dark Elves, and while they are part of the Empire, they have, what is it called? I can't remember. They have like kind of how like, what is that place that's not part of China but it's China? You know what I'm talking about?
Taiwan.
They have like Taiwan rules where like they're independent, but they still are, they still follow or fall under like the land of, you know, like certain rules. Well, they've made it legal. They've legalized it in Morrowind because they, Khajiits are house servants in Morrowind, and they want them to stay high so that they perform their duties, so that they're like controllable. It's fun. It's crazy. Like,
this is I just want to say, I'm reading again, still on the Wikipedia page. Trivia: there are 24 free samples of this ingredient in the game.
Yeah.
Oh my god. 24 free samples of this ingredient.
Yeah, and you if you take
for the rest.
If you take it, you get like, and you don't keep taking it, you get like a debuff. You get like a permanent debuff.
Oh,
you
permanent. Have to
keep taking it. Yeah, it's like, it's very, the game is fucked up, but I but I love this game. But it is like, I don't know, it's just, you get a lot of like perspective. Brandon was right about how like you start with a stupid game, and then you like, I mean, like this kind of led me into my understanding of like the drug war, like, and how fucked up it is because of this stupid game and Skooma, and like
they were willing to have something that, even though like it was extremely buggy, extremely ugly, they were able to pack so much. Like, first of all, the game became legendary because the sheer amount of stuff that's in it just so easily overwhelms a fucking gaming magazine.
Yeah.
Imagine being game pro and having to cover some of this stuff in like 1,500 words. All you can do is just say, this shit's crazy. You've got to watch this shit when it comes out. Like, it's the game that just lends itself to hyperbolic, you know, whatever. And the reviews it got were pretty good. I mean, it was like this. It was just people saying a lot of the details, it lives up to the hype. Like, if you want to go live out your story in Morrowind, there's nothing stopping you from having lots of fun playing it right now. But it is buggy, weird, janky, tedious, bizarre. You know, it's real human art. Let's tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JoJo's Bizarre Morrowind.
But because it was so ambitious, it was able to include a theme like this that is, you know, unusually well handled, even by modern standards to some extent, in certain ways. Not necessarily in every single respect, but I think, especially from a political perspective, like the idea of creating a real tangible allegory for the drug war. A lot of people try to do this and they end up with something ham-fisted and kind of hacky. But the way that the Empire both kind of tolerates and doesn't tolerate Skooma, the way that like all of these different groups have these different relationships to it, the way that it has this complex and deep history and like cultural stuff that is tied to it, is very compellingly like real life stuff.
Something that's really insane about this stupid thing is the reason why Skooma is illegal in elsewhere, where it's made, because elsewhere was conquered by the Empire. It's illegal there, right? But it's not illegal in Morrowind is because Morrowind technically has nukes. So that's why there's like nuclear intrigue in this stupid ass game.
That's correct.
They have a god's heart, which is essentially a nuke. I don't know how to explain that in a way.
No, that, I think know, that's I think that is the best and only way to explain it, actually.
Yeah. I play video games to escape from reality.
Yeah,
no.
I play video games to learn about reality, yeah.
Not fucking anymore, you don't. Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at, like, the history of the war on drugs in the United States, which is something that, like a lot of things in the U.S., kind of feels like it's just gone on forever, but really started in the 70s. And you look at, like, you know, you compare, like, drug policy, scheduling, all this stuff. There's some really compelling parallels. And so that's why we thought it would be good to bring these two topics together today. So I have some questions here for everyone that I think will hopefully provoke some interesting thoughts and, more importantly, some interesting votes. That's right. We're moving into the voting section of our show.
Vote on drugs. Vote on drugs.
It's time to vote for or against drugs. I think we all know how we're voting. My first question for everyone. If we had the ghost fence in real life, would this make a difference in the flow of hard drugs across international borders? And the ghost fence, can the ghost fence help Donald Trump achieve his dreams?
I was gonna say.
Or is it not gonna work out?
Folks, we're building a ghost fence. We're using our ancestors. We're getting them together. We're building. We're not going to let
I've got the bones
again.
Of my father and my grandfather here. That is one thing you could say about Trump. He would put his own bones into the ghost fence. No hesitation.
Zero hesitation.
You know, like Joe Biden, if Joe Biden was building the ghost fence, he'd be like,
so I remember when he started the ghost fence.
We got these bones from convicts, Jack.
I know most of those ghosts. I was friends with them.
He'd be getting his bones from the shadiest sources imaginable. But Donald Trump, he would authentically bring his own parents' bones down to wail in eternity in the ghost wall.
I appreciate family values like that.
That's family values right there, for sure. What do you think, Marcos? Do you think the ghost fence could stop fentanyl?
It literally. Like, if you're talking about in the game, no, it literally could not. But,
I did enough research to know that this was the answer, but I'm still really excited to talk about it.
But it could potentially do what, like, the reality of, like, the border, like, the harsh border, like, drug stuff, isn't that they want to stop the flow of drugs coming in. It's that they want to stop seeing junkies, which the ghost fence would work. For that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, the ghost fence keeps everyone who has the blight, is what they call it, inside of the ghost fence. So, like, technically, the fent can come through, but the moment you get addicted to the fent, they can send your ass over to the ghost, like, past on the other side of the ghost fence. So it kind of does work. It just doesn't work the way it's intended. You know what I'm saying?
But it would make Donald Trump happy, is what I'm hearing.
I'm saying. So they would... He would, you know... $100 billion to the ghost fence, folks.
It seems more like the ghost fence is more of a Joe Biden measure.
That Loki, yeah, that actually does
a little Joe Biden-y, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
Trump would still like it just for the name. We have a ghost fence. It's a fence. It's made out of ghosts. It's very authentic. Best ghost fence
Biden
ever.
Would have called it something else. And Trump would have been saying, under me, I'm going to make the ghost fence. And he'll be describing stuff that Biden already is doing. And Biden's like, I'm already doing all that.
We're calling it a ghost detention center, Jack.
The spiritual guidance perimeter or something.
Yeah, spiritual guidance perimeter, Jack. It's very simple.
very simple. It's not hard to understand, Jack.
I'm sorry. I have to vote on this one.
I want to say this was a loaded question because when I looked into this, the Wikipedia the fan wiki about Elder Scrolls I was reading specified that people have tunneled under the ghost fence that you can levitate over it, over the years a number of monsters have escaped with no explanation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, it's interesting. There's flaws in the ghost fence we don't even understand.
The ghost fence, the tribunal are the people who created the ghost fence, and they know it doesn't work. They did it as a half measure to make the people of Morrowind feel safer.
Video games to spike the
Like, I'm not even joking. Like, that's in the lore of the stupid game.
You're fucking with me. I'm being dead ass.
They knew that it wasn't going to work and it wasn't a permanent solution. So they were just like, we'll just put up something around Red Mountain and it'll make everyone in Morrowind feel safer. And literally it did. And
I hate this stupid game. It's the worst video game ever.
This game's too woke. This game is way too woke.
We couldn't make Morrowind today.
You could not make Morrowind today because it's not woke enough. It's...
You shouldn't have made it at any time, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going back in time and stopping this game from existing. I'm sorry, honestly, you'll have to find another game to be obsessed with your entire life.
On some real shit, I don't think I've ever met a single Morrowind player that was, like, even remotely right-wing. Like, not one, I don't think. And, like, I know a lot of people. Like, people... I know people who play, like... you know what? Actually, I know a lot of, like, conservative... Oblivion players, but I've never met like I don't think it's possible. I think it really does like kind of backdoor like really good concepts into your brain. Like,
yeah, I mean, first of all, conservatives don't read, so
that's
there's,
you know what I didn't even think about. Yeah, absolutely, that's
a game with that much reading.
Yeah,
out. This is all interesting. Let's move on to our next topic. How popular would skooma be compared to other hard drugs if it existed in real life?
Skooma is essentially, it's meth that's good for you, right? Because it,
but
it,
also the, still bad for you.
No, because the downside is that you have reduced luck, which, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a mechanic in real life.
That does
like
sound realistic, though, to...
Yeah, if you're doing meth anyways, you don't have good luck, and you know what I'm saying? There's a if you're hardcore addicted to meth, chances are your luck stat is already pretty low. It's like you've gotten this far without it. So skooma really doesn't have a downside for you. You don't lose your teeth, you don't get super skinny, you just move really fast and your luck stat stays low. You know, but if your luck stat's zero, you're fine. Like
but they do make harder versions of it later with worse effects.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think in Oblivion, I think it, like, reduces your speed or it reduces your agility or intelligence, too.
I was referring to that specific version that the vampires make.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, specifically meant to, like, prey on skooma addicts.
Yeah, yeah. But that's like niche meth, you know? That's like a guy buying like artisanal meth, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a rare case.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, my guy, he makes artisanal meth.
Are you basically making the case that skooma would be like insanely popular, or
I think what? It would. I high key think it would. It, like, especially it would be super popular with gym bros who are trying, like, obsessed with like getting PRs on like their miles, you know what I'm saying? It would be like a real big like athlete's drug, you know, like it would be massive for like it would be the trucking industry would run on skooma, right?
Actually, it's you who would be massive if you were on skooma.
Yeah, I would probably be on skooma as
that's
well.
That's the tagline right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Donald Trump legalized skooma.
Yeah.
The actual drink Yoo-Hoo would also be massive if skooma was real.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd want something to wash down the skooma.
Yeah, skooma's got a kind of bitter flavor.
It's got to have a weird taste, because I saw this cocktail in the Skyrim cookbook for like a skooma drink. It didn't sound good to me. Yeah. Not gonna lie. Low key. Sounded kind of whack. So, yeah, it's got to have a... It can't taste good based on what I know. Are we all just basically in agreement that skooma would just become the epidemic of the United States?
Skooma would kick ass. Skooma, like, could you imagine instead of like all of the e-girls on Twitter that are like just hopelessly cokeheads. Imagine them on Skooma instead. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the posting, the kind of Skooma posting we would get. Do you know how fucking cool that would be?
I actually cannot imagine Skooma posting, but I'm trying.
Skooma posting would fucking rock so hard.
Okay, I just talked to the Pope and he admitted none of those words were in the Bible.
I'm just imagining, like, you know when people meme on, like, what if Viking warriors had Twitter? Like, I feel like that's what Skooma posting would be like. Just posting, like, I'm gonna rip the head off
and, like, I think I can
and
jump
fucking
the
put their spine on my barbecue grill today. Like, you know?
No, Skooma posting would be like, I'm pretty sure I could jump over the moon. I'm positive I could do it. I've had enough. I think I can do it. I think I can jump over the moon.
I need an adult.
Okay, so given that Skooma is going to take over the United States, which state would be the Skooma capital of the U.S.?
Arizona. Arizona. It has to be Arizona. It has to be Arizona. I have. It's Arizona. Arizona is ground zero for Skooma consumption and production. It's where it all comes from. Like, listen, Arizona borders elsewhere.
Of course it has to be a swing state.
Yeah, it's a swing, it's a purple state, you know. They got kind of lax laws over there, like they... No, I think, like, in all honesty, Arizona is the quiet meth capital of the world.
Yeah, no, that right? checks out from what I remember living in its neighbor, Nevada.
It's so lots of people do meth in Arizona, but they do it quietly, right? They have like a job. They do normal stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like they did, like, yeah, I have a job and I go to church and like also I spend about $10,000 a month on methamphetamines, and like that's super normal in Arizona. So like Skooma would hit them like a damn freight train, you know.
I do want to propose maybe Utah.
Utah, yeah, I could see Utah. A lot of those like midwestern states. They're like western, but they're mid. They're
the
in between the west
that
and
are
the
mid. Yes.
Yeah,
I was about to say Utah's definitely mid. Like
they're west mid, not midwest.
So I do like Arizona as an answer though. That's really strong. Did anyone else want to weigh in on Skooma capital of the U.S., Brandon? I feel like you haven't chimed in on this one.
Well, I think it would be just very obvious that Florida would be in strong contention. But I also feel like just this whole purple state, red state, you know, I just feel like Arizona, it was made such a strong case. There are also some plain states. There are some states where there's absolutely nothing happening. Like, North if you Dakota. Can imagine... Yeah, you can imagine one of the Montana or Dakota or Wyoming just getting wrecked by Skooma just to have anything to do. But you just think Arizona will have a larger economy for the drug. Yeah. So, you can round out. Jersey might have a Skooma presence too. You can imagine.
I feel like Jersey's got more like a Cyrodiilic brandy problem, you know what I mean? Like they got aww. People bootlegging that shit over there. And like, you know what, I'll give you that Florida, but Florida is more of a moon sugar place. You get moon sugar from Florida. You don't really, you know what I'm saying, they don't really got Skooma, like especially the like Miami, you know what I'm saying? Miami, that's a moon sugar city right there.
In my history you can find any kind of drug in Florida. Florida and you can't find a drug, let me know.
In fact, you can find Skooma in Florida right now in real life.
You probably can get Skooma in Florida, unironically, yet.
Okay, so you know how, like, when drugs come over, like, if a drug gets popular...
Wait a second. Kennedy.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Wait a minute. In fact, we had that as a drop in our show. When you think about, when you add in Havana syndrome, Florida is actually getting wrecked by drugs that don't even exist right now.
Oh, no!
Incredible.
Okay, keep going.
No, that just broke me for a second. I couldn't, I just needed a second. You know how sometimes a drug You know, a lot of drugs do start in the United States, but obviously we don't start everything. And sometimes you'll hear of a drug that gets its start somewhere else, and it has like a name wherever it comes from, and then it comes here and it gets its own street names, you know? So I'm kind of imagining that Skooma would get its own unique Americanized street names once it arrived here. I want everybody to try to come up with a street name for Skooma. Let's go.
I'm too uncool for this assignment.
I have several.
Okay, fuck yeah.
In Indiana, they're calling it SK.
SK, all right.
You're getting SK down.
Yep.
Down in Indiana, you're getting SK at the gas station. You get that SK.
Yeah. All right.
In Baltimore, it's Scoom.
Oh, I was actually going to say Scoos. I think that's in Philly. In Baltimore, it's Scoo. Then you get up, north to Philadelphia, it's Scoos now.
Yeah, Scoons.
Actually going to have it be Scoof in the Plain States.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're all going in the same direction there.
Gooby-gooby-doo.
Yeah, so that in California, it's called Scooby. They're doing Scooby in California. Yeah.
Wow, let's never take that out of context. We're doing Scooby in California. Does Shaggy know?
Yeah, no, they're high out of their mind on Scooby.
What do they call it? What do they call it in Arizona? And keep in mind, based on the kind of person you described as our primary user in Arizona, they're going to want a discreet name.
Oh, of course, right? I think in Arizona, it's probably because Arizonans don't have like any affect or accent.
Yeah, they're going to call it Scooby because California calls
it
that.
Yeah, they're going to call it Scooby.
Arizonans love to differentiate themselves from California, even if it's only slightly different. They're going to insist.
They're probably going to call it Scoob Dog. Like, just fuck it up.
They call it Scoob Dog. There you go.
I'm on Scoob Dog. Like, what is that? This is fucking nothing to do with Morrowind, dude.
Or wait, what's that other dog that appears sometimes? Scrappy?
Scrappy Doo?
Scrappy. They're taking some Scrappy.
On Scrappy Doo. It's like four. It's so fucking far removed from when it started.
Yo, you got the scraps? You got some scraps?
Yeah, bro, what are you talking about, dude?
We're talking about Morrowind, obviously. Duh.
Yeah. Gonna take some Velvar.
What would the leading anti-Skooma NGO be called? Like, you know how there's like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or you know, these different.
It would be NTMS, and it'd be No to Moon Sugar.
No to Moon Sugar.
Yeah, because they wouldn't call it directly Skooma. They wouldn't. You know, they would fuck it up. They would like, just like, did you know that the term crack was invented by the White House? Like, accidentally, they fucked up and invented the term crack? Because before that, it was base. Everyone called it base, right?
Wow,
and
then, pretty based.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I did a bunch of research on, like the crack epidemic in the 80s, and it turns out that, like, America accidentally
invented in scare quotes.
Yeah, accidentally. Well, like, what is it called? They did this thing where they made it so that it destroyed, they wanted it to destroy the inner cities. That's what they wanted. They wanted to destroy like black cities in America. That's what they literally imported it to do that. And then when it started like leaking out into like other cities, like whiter areas, they accidentally did a, what are those called? Like a self-fulfilling prophecy where they were telling people like, oh, and it's leaking into the cities, and it hadn't made its way out of the cities yet. And then by saying that they did that, all of the drug dealers that were like making money in the drug markets in like Oakland and LA, and like, cause it started out in the Bay Area and in California, and it moved its way east to like, you know, New York. But how it moved its way east was because they were saying that it was happening in New York and like, Miami and like major cities across America. They're saying that, oh yeah, there's drug trades in every city in America, but there wasn't. And all of the drug dealers were like, dude, but we could though. Well, why aren't we expanding?
Like, beautiful. This is what I use my tax dollars for.
Yeah. So they like, there's a lot of like, they fucking completely, it was originally called base, and it was called base because it was based off something called baste, which is paste. In like Venezuelan Spanish, or not Venezuelan, Peruvian Spanish, because in Peru is when they were, where they were like doing all the actual refinement, and cocaine itself was too expensive for the Peruvians to purchase because it was all for export. So they would scrape up what was left over off the sides of the like pots and stuff, and then like throw it away. And people started realizing you could smoke that like essentially pasty, dried, freebase cocaine. You could literally smoke it, and they started calling it paste or paste, and it was like 10 times more addictive, and it was like insane. And then the Americans sent the Food and Drug Administration to come down here and like monitor the situation, and they came back and they're like, yeah, we don't think it's a big deal. In fact, we brought some so we can share it with you guys and see. And then it just completely, it like, yeah, the CIA was like, dude, we gotta get this now. Like, we gotta get that shit now. And that's how. But it was Nancy Reagan accidentally invented the term crack because it was originally called base.
Kennedy, next time I say something is based and you ask me based on what, I'm going to say based on crap.
Based on Nancy Reagan, huh?
Okay. You're based on Nancy Reagan, yeah.
Based on Nancy Reagan, duh.
That's really interesting. Now, okay, I have to take us back and put us back on topic, though, because I'm not satisfied with, I'm satisfied with your political analysis, but I'm not satisfied with your answer to the organization about the organization that's going to stop SCUMA, because I think the acronym needs to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I want the acronym to spell something funny.
Hmm.
Let's see. So moon sugar, that's an MS.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm trying to think of like SCUMA lovers against Morrowind, but because that's slam, which is funny. But like that doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But that's the opposite.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
That's the complete.
It's the complete opposite, though. It's people who like SCUMA who are against Morrowind. it's like if Dare did the Dare did do the exact opposite. But like if it, but like if that was intentional, you know what I mean?
I think
like,
maybe it was. Well, no, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I'm cooking back here. Don't you worry.
This is in the universe of our universe, right?
In the universe of our real world. Like, SCUMA has taken over the United States streets.
I got one, but it doesn't really make sense. And it's SCUMA Takers Anonymous North Korea. And that's stank. That's all I got. And then I'm thinking, and all I can come up with stank. Maybe
wait,
stink,
I got it. SCUMA kills Americans. Okay. Ska.
Ska. There we go.
That's close. But not if it's SCUMA.
The closest I got was Mother's Melting Magic Sugar or Mmm's.
Mmm's is good. Yes. I like ska. I really do like ska. SCUMA kills Americans is to the point.
Wait a second. What does SCUMA do?
It kills Americans.
Oh no! I am an American.
How about Citizens Against Trafficking SCUMA?
Citizens Against, what does that spell out?
Oh, cats.
Cats. There we go.
Cats don't dance.
Yeah, cats is pretty good. Especially, it's funny because that's what Khajiits are cats. So like,
oh like no. Cats.
That slaps.
Great stuff, everyone. Great stuff. Let's move on. Which U.S. president would have best handled the SCUMA crisis?
Richard Nixon.
You can't say that.
Why? Richard Nixon is—he's unironically. I hate Richard Nixon. I need to preface this. I hate him. He's a scumbag. He's the worst. But also, he's the first baby girl president. You know.
I gotta ask the Pope of that in the Bible.
He's the first baby girl president.
What the fuck?
Because he's kind of like poor me. All I did was record everyone and do crimes that shouldn't be illegal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
he's very
like
much
a little guy.
He's kind of baby girl boy with it. Like,
yeah,
he is kind of a birthday boy, but he's more baby girl. Like, especially, you have to understand, it's a fashion. It's his fashion.
Okay,
it's,
you know what? Right. He to be fair, the Supreme Court does agree now that it's not a crime when the president does it. Like, yeah, yeah. He's ahead of his time.
He was way ahead of the time on that one. But, like, he... You have to, like, the heroin... There was a heroin crisis that was happening under Richard Nixon. And his solution to the heroin crisis was instead of, like... So everyone else was like, all right, we're gonna look at, like... Prior to that, any kind of crisis or drug... Well, there wasn't really a lot of drug crises or whatnot. But his thought was, okay, we're gonna make... You know what? Actually, I changed my mind. I know exactly who would handle it, and it would be terrible. If you want to go the worst possible person, it would be Bill Clinton. He would make mandatory SCUMA sentencing.
Okay. Well, actually, my next question is about.
Wait. Well, go ahead. What's your next question?
We can kind of just lump these two together. We don't have to move on completely. But my next question was going to be. A mandatory SCUMA sentencing versus moon sugar. How are they both scheduled and sentenced?
Moon sugar is a gentleman's drug. Okay.
Before we get to that, I really feel like Joe Biden, to everyone's surprise, because Biden would have definitely been right along with Clinton in the National SCUMA Act of 92
oh, for sure.
or whatever.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. No. Absolutely, dude.
But however, I think he would have become gradually more pro SCUMA as president. Mm-hmm. Like it would have been buried in like the grants and, you know, like, you know, the grants and the bills and something about green energy. And then like a couple of years into the term, especially because the SCUMA is really taking off in purple states. And he's realizing that this is an American industry. So, you know, the Joe Biden that's, you know, he's losing a little ground with the unions. Elon's rebuffed him. He's looking for just something that can be his. And he finds that it's also a lot of old people that are getting into SCUMA. I think Biden gradually becomes more pro-SCUMA during his term. And that by his lame duck period, he's pro-SCUMA. And like around the time he's doing like the Equal Rights Amendment is in the Constitution now.
Yeah, but
he's also
Kamala...
going to Arizona and going like SCUMA is the law of the land.
Kamala Harris would be legalizing SCUMA in like California, but at the same time she would be locking people up for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? For like a dime bag of SCUMA. Like that's yeah. Like that's her MO, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
While
yeah.
she was a prosecutor, she'd be doing people.
Especially for a drug where it just seems like it exposed America's bipolar nature.
Yeah.
She's gonna be saying, I was enforcing the SCUMA law of the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
No, I think I actually wanna make a case though. I think this moon sugar would be more harshly regulated and looked down upon specifically because it has a positive cultural connotation.
There's a precedence in Morrowind where SCUMA is legal in Morrowind, but moon sugar is illegal, right?
Okay.
And the reason for that is because moon sugar is not as addictive. So remember, if you recall all the way back to when we started, they in Morrowind, they want who they call the beast folks, which are Argonians and Khajiit. They want them addicted to SCUMA because in getting them addicted, they're more easy to like become to make house servants because they're like stuck in these cycles of poverty. You know what I'm saying? So like moon sugar is illegal, whereas in the rest of the empire, moon sugar is legal and SCUMA is illegal. So like
I play video games to escape reality.
Like, yeah, so like there's a precedence here where like, but I mean like the same thing happened in the 80s and 90s where in white communities, people would get caught with amounts of, like, you know, cocaine, like bags of cocaine and the sentencing, there was no like mandatory sentencing laws on that. So they could either plea out, get some like, they even had like sweetheart rehab deals if you had enough money, and it was considered. And the reason why I can't remember who it was, but it was like some court circuit judge in like Wisconsin or something. And he was talking about how like you sentence people for cocaine because you know that they were just trying to have a good time and they made a mistake. But you sentence people harsher for crack because the only people who have crack are intentionally like selling it or intentionally destroying their lives. There's no one who does recreational crack. Like that was the mentality behind that, which that argument is what Bill Clinton used to introduce mandatory sentencing laws in the 80s and 90s for crack cocaine, which is like crazy fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like it was literally the most racist, is one of the most racist bills that has ever existed. Right. It's literally Oblivion is explaining that, like, why they would make that illegal in the game, because it was targeted towards a community of minorities in the game, in universe.
Pretty incredible stuff. We've already covered a lot of topics today. I want to round out this episode by kind of drifting away from the main topic and just going through a few more questions that I had in mind that don't really relate as much. But I just think that maybe we'll still enjoy, and it's important to try to enjoy each question equally. So, who's the most steampunk president in history?
My gut just wants to yell Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay, choice.
That's the simple answer. Yeah, that's. I feel like that's the obvious answer. But I'm trying to go a little bit more.
Dig a little deeper.
Subtle. Yeah, I'm trying to go more subtle.
Benjamin Franklin, he who was absolutely a president. Why is he on my $100 bill if he wasn't a president?
Good point.
It's kind of cool. It is kind of funny that they're like, dude, he was so cool. Just give him the 100, dude.
What did he do exactly? Cool. I don't know, like fuck bitches.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, put him on the 100. Like, okay. Why?
The dude was a certified MILF chaser, dude. Like the guy, like he was. I'm trying to think.
Why can't it be George Washington?
Because that also feels like cheating. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he's the worst. He's actually the worst aspect of like steampunk in that he like literally was like pulling out like slave teeth to wear. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a steampunk ass thing to do, but it's awful.
Yeah,
like that's the worst shit I've ever heard. They're like, oh, look at my steampunk my steampunk hat that I made on Etsy. It's like, oh, check this out, I made dentures out of slave teeth. You know, like that's fucking insane, dude. What are you talking about?
George Washington created the torment nexus.
Yeah, low key. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like who's someone that. Yeah, I think it was JFK, actually. JFK was the most steampunk president.
Going to the moon is actually extremely steampunk.
It's steampunk as fuck. Yeah, it is. It is. It's one, you know what I mean? Like, he just, like, it's, a, yeah, he slaps. He got taken out, like, most steampunk playthroughs of games where I just get one-shotted by the boss. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's exactly what happened.
Like, his head just did that.
Yeah, his head just did that. Yeah, I think it's JFK. I honestly think it's my pick is JFK. He's the most steampunk president for sure.
All right. Which real life political scandal would make the best Morrowind side quest with the least interpretation or adaptation?
There was a guy named Vivek Ramaswamy.
Who ran for president.
I know about a political.
I'm not allowed that one. That's our next item.
All right. All right. I'm just saying, like, you already got one. You got a 1-to-1 there. Let's see. The problem with it is that, like, the border crisis, we already covered it with, like, the border crisis and, like, Red Mountain, you know what I mean? Like, and like the ghost fence. Like,
you gotta pick something they haven't already done.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's harder. It's so much harder to do.
You're a random adventurer. One day, no. The government accidentally adds you to a signal chat.
What real life politically inspired Morrowind side quest is currently missing that would make you, Marcos, so happy, which is a side quest where someone violates the Hatch Act and you get to go beat up that person.
Actually, I got one, right? The banning of soda was something that was going to happen under, I think, still think it's going to happen, or it might happen under RFK. He's like brought it up multiple times. He's talking about banning soda. This is the same exact thing that they did in Oblivion, where they banned necromancy. They banned necromancy, and it caused, and fucking people were freaking out because they're like, well, I should be allowed to raise the dead. I study magic. That's what I'm supposed to do. And it, like, people were fucking heated about it. So, like, there was a bunch of, like, pro necromancy, interest groups lobbying the tribunal and, like, trying to get them to. So, yeah, it's the banning of soda. Banning of soda is like banning necromancy. And, like, in all honesty, if they ban soda, I'm fucking losing my mind. I'm literally, I will leave America. That's like my final straw, is banning soda. I can't live in a world where I can't get a Diet Coke. You know what I'm saying? If I can't get a Diet Pepsi or like something like that, I fucking will lose my mind.
I don't think Trump is gonna ban soda.
I'll march on the White House.
one day of blowback. You know, we can compare. Yeah. You know, we all don't like Michael Bloomberg. But there's no way that Trump could take one day of the intensity of the blowback Bloomberg got
for wagging his chin
at the soda heads in America.
Yeah.
And what would Trump use the Diet Coke button if he banned it?
Right now, renegotiating the tariffs with China all by himself, alone in a room. Like, there's no one. He's not talking to China at all. He's just getting yelled at in the newspapers and then coming out every day and being like, well, I'm talking to China. I'm talking with my guys. It seems like we got to lower these tariffs a little bit. And it's like, and then Xi comes out and is like, I haven't spoken to Donald Trump in 71 days.
Oh, you misunderstand. I didn't mean I went to the country of China. I meant I talked to my good friend, China Tariffs. Last name Tariffs, first name China. Very lovely person.
China Tariffs sounds like she has a crazy OF page. And I personally would. I would sub to that.
Yeah, sign up today. China Tariffs. You know, both things are getting more expensive, but that OF page.
$2. Like, she got a $2 6 month special.
Wow. Okay. Who's more electable, Vivek or Vivek? In the United States specifically. We're not talking about a fantasy setting where you have all of the, because and I say this especially because Vivek, as soon as the gods get overthrown, Morrowind's Vivek basically just eats shit, kinda.
Yeah.
Vivek,
I hate this question.
Okay, so Vivek from Morrowind is unironically probably one of the most competent leaders I've ever met, or like not met, but like ever seen portrayed in a game, right? Like a competent politician. And the reason why I would say he's a competent politician is because like he is holding a big ass rock over, like he's with his mind, right? Like his telekinesis powers, he is stopping a massive meteorite from falling onto the city of Vivek, which would destroy most of Morrowind if it hit. He's stopped, and it's like, it's not up in space. It's literally hovering slightly above the city of Vivek, and he lives inside of it. And he's essentially saying that, like, if at any point in time you question my authority, I'm just going to crash this shit into the city. So, you know, I'm benevolent because I'm allowing you to live, but also like I'm reasonable. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's you can talk to me about stuff. And he literally, his door is open. You can just go inside of the meteorite and talk to Vivek, and he'll tell you things. But in all honesty, like he's got a very interesting, he's very Machiavellian, right? Where he's aware of how Machiavellian he is. And whereas like Vivek Ramaswamy to me seems like a really, I've worked with guys like him who's like a bad tech CEO who's just like, I want everyone to be my friend. Yeah. Like, no, dude. That's bad, dude. That's actually really bad. Like, you're gonna have a bad time trying to do anything.
Especially if you are a perennially unlikable person and now you're obsessed with friendship as an important metric of your work.
You know what's going to get me lots of friends? If I run for governor of Ohio. Yeah,
Okay, well, given that it's clear that Morrowind's Vivek is more politically competent, let's turn this around. And if real life Vivek Ramaswamy is elected governor of Ohio, which city will he benevolently rename after himself?
His stupid ass would try and rename Saeed Anin to his name. And it would fucking, he doesn't have telekinesis powers. So the city of Vivek, instantly gone. Just fucking vaporized by the, that's the other thing I forgot to say. Vivek, like, he didn't stop the meteorite from hitting the city of Vivek. He called the meteorite down to hit it. And then stopped it at the last minute and was like, hey, look what I did. Right?
Is that cool? Would you like to see it up a little closer?
Yeah, no? And like,
okay.
So he kind of, like, Vivek Ramaswamy would literally just, he would have the juice to pull the, like, meteor down, but I don't think he could stop it. That's just wiping off the city of Vivek off the name of Earth. But Saeed Anin is the opening, it's the opening city that you land in when you first play Morrowind. And he would try and rename it that because he wants your first impression to be of him. And if you've ever seen Saeed Anin, it is a shithole. It's got two buildings and it's mostly swamp. It's infested.
Okay, but what city in Ohio?
Oh, what city in Ohio?
Vivek Ramaswamy name after himself if he became governor of Ohio. Our real Vivek in real life.
He would fuck it up and do like Xenia. Like Xenia, Ohio, which is the coolest sounding name. It's not a cool place, but it is the coolest sounding name. He would fuck it up and turn his.
I was thinking maybe Chillicothe. Like,
That's a deep cut. That is a deep cut of. Are you a real Ohio head? Are you a real Ohioan?
Kennedy loves Ohio. Isn't that why you know all about it? You just wish you were there right now. Kennedy's about to kill me if I keep this up.
Yeah, real Ohio heads are gonna be listening to the episode. They're gonna be doing that meme where you point and go, "Oh, yeah,
what is it, Chillicothe? What did you even Chillicothe. Say? Yeah,
what did you say about my mom?
Yeah, Chillicothe mentioned.
Or maybe just like Cleveland, you know.
I forget that Cleveland is in Ohio.
It feels like it's in Michigan.
I forget. No, Cleveland just feels like it's its own state, like a city state. You know what I mean? Like it just kind of exists.
That is how it should be.
Yeah, it's
interesting that y'all mentioned city states because I looked up places in Ohio that were named after other places because I thought Vivek would want to like take credit for renaming or naming something, you know. And it turns out that there's a Russia, Ohio. So my plan is that he takes over Russia to show that he's not aligned with Vladimir Putin no matter what. he's getting tough on Russia by renaming Russia, Ohio after himself as a way to own Putin.
Oh, and the best way thing about it is it'll get really messy because it's pronounced Rushi for that little city in Ohio. And he's going to keep fucking it up and getting the people who live there mad.
I think Brandon might have cracked the code.
Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah. It's going to be the city of Rushi. AKA Russia.
Oh, this has been an incredible time. Thank you everyone for voting with us. Marcos, thank you so much for voting with us today. Do you want to plug something? Do you want to promote anything? Do you want to let people know about something?
Yes. I have a podcast. It used to be called The Ain't Shit Show. We're changing the name because it turns out when you approach people and you're like, hey, come on my podcast, and they're like, oh, absolutely, what's it called? And you're like, it's called The Ain't Shit Show, or ASS for short. People are like, yeah, get the fuck out of my DM.
Oh, yeah, get out of my Uber.
What
get
are
out
you,
of
the
my
angry
laundromat.
Video game nerd?
Yeah, so we changed it. We're changing it to Homo, or not Homo, Homie Vulgaris. It used to be called
We're changing it to Home of Sexual. No.
Home of Sexual. Yeah, no, it's Homie Vulgaris.
Okay.
We're starting it new. It's fresh. We're getting everything together. I still have the Ainter Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Ainter Show. You can follow me on TikTok. You can follow me on YouTube. In fact, I would really appreciate the YouTube love. And I do stream, but I am a mailman and I work like 6 days a week and I work like 12-hour days. So I stream not that often. But when I do stream, I do it with a nose. I stream games that nobody likes, games like Morrowind, games like Kenshi. I'm planning on streaming a bunch of just really fun, stupid stuff in the future. So if y'all want to subscribe, you can look me up, find me at Ainter Show, and I'm on all social media there.
Great. You can find us everywhere you find podcasts. We'll support an election of our lives. You can find all of us variously on social medias. Look in the show notes. We'll have all this stuff that Marcos mentioned in the show notes. And Marcos, thank you.
Yeah.
It's so great to have the homie here. You've been a blessing. Just anything else you want to say on the way out the door as a farewell to everybody?
Absolutely. Love your homies. Support the homies. And also, this is an open invite to all of y'all to come on my show. Because I feel like we do very similar shows. The only difference is you do research and we don't.
So. I literally will. You'll see me there. You'll see me there. I mean, yeah. Honestly, you were doing all of this talk about history and shit. It was like you were really doing research.
No, this
like
is...
you came pre-research.
I'm a psychopath and I fucking love... I started out as a conspiracy theorist guy, and then I've somehow morphed that into like, okay, but it's not aliens and Bigfoot. It's like the CIA and the crack epidemic. And like, do you know what I'm saying? Like that's the actual conspiracies happen. You're an idiot if you don't think that they did, you know, like, so yeah, I always
trust the government.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Thank you for voting with us and we'll vote with you again next time. Bye.
Take care. Vote.
Thanks for listening.